Open your Bibles tonight, please, to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. The society of mankind is built to run by a calendar. Every nation that I know of has a calendar that they go by. Even the ancient Aztecs had a calendar, and seems like I remember seeing something about it being scheduled to run out this next year or so. And a lot of people are saying that when it runs out, that's going to be the end of time. You got to be careful what you associate the end of time with. Who knows? It may happen. But our time is marked by our calendars, isn't it? You start in Genesis chapter 1 reading your Bible, and you don't read very far until you find out that God had a day and a night. And after he had seven of those days and nights, he drew a line and said six of them. And he said, all right, now seven, that's what makes a week. He said, all right, that's a week. And then he accumulated the weeks, and 4 weeks make a month. And then he added the months up, and 12 months makes a year. And so our time is divided up like that. Our days are even divided into hours and minutes and seconds and such as this. Now, God's calendar is also divided into similar parts, and each one of them are significant and meaningful. And I want us to notice here in Leviticus 23 about God's calendar. But first, beginning back in the 12th chapter of Exodus and verse 2, the Lord spoke to Moses and told him, and this was in the land of Egypt before the Exodus. He said, this month, meaning the time that then was, whenever God's speaking to him, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So this is God's calendar that he's setting up. And later on we'll find that the months were given names. When he started off, it was just the first month, second month, third month, all the way up to 12. Then it started over. But somebody came along and gave them names, and just as ours have names today, January, February, March, etc. This first month, beginning of the year, was called Abib, A-B-I-B. It'll be referred to later. And this is interesting, and I don't know the history behind it, but the month of Abib, after the Babylonian captivity, something happened in there that changed the name of that month, and they came out of the captivity calling it Nisan. N-I-S-A-N. That's what I call, the way I pronounce it. I can remember it better that way. Anyway, that was the beginning of the month. Now, our calendar is marked with holidays. If you were employed at a place that recognized these holidays to you, it meant a day off, a paid day off. I always liked those holidays. And God's calendar has holidays too. But I always look at that. January, we started off right. New Year's Day. And then in February, you got Valentine's Day. And March, you got St. Patrick's Day. April the 15th. Then comes Tax Day. Then in May you got Memorial Day. In June you got Father's Day. In July you got the 4th of July, Independence Day. And all the way on through, even in December, we've got Christmas. So just about every month has a holiday in it. Well, God's calendar is also marked by holidays. The holiday is a holy day. In the Old Testament, they were called feasts. And God's calendar had seven of these during the course of the year. They're called the Feast of the Lord. And these seven feasts of the Lord in the Jewish calendar depicted the entire redemptive career of our Lord Jesus Christ all the way from Calvary to the kingdom. Interesting. They began with the day that Jesus voluntarily gave himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary, and they end at the Feast of Tabernacles, the day when Jesus will return and establish his millennial kingdom. The Hebrew word that's translated feasts, when we think about a feast, we think about eating. We think about a banquet where you gorge yourself until you're nearly sick on food. But the Hebrew word here, instead of eating, it simply means appointed times. Appointed times. God appointed times. Now, these are designed by God himself to tell the wonderful story of redemption. They had days of rest, and they were days of rest. Like if we get a holiday, that's a day off, a day of rest. Sunday is our day of rest. I hope that you remember that. Stores all used to be closed. You couldn't go to the grocery store after church to buy anything. Restaurants were closed. Everything was shut down. It was a day of rest. Well, these holy days that the Jews had on their calendar, these were days of rest also, and they were prohibited from doing work on those days. They catch somebody doing some work, they were in deep trouble. Reminds us of God's invitation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That's the work part of it. And he said, "I will give you rest." Now, these feasts, again, are seven in number. Seven is the biblical number for completion and perfection. As early as Genesis chapter 2, after God had created the world and everything in it in 6 days, the Bible says that he rested the seventh day. Now, when God rested, he didn't rest because he was tired, because omnipotence doesn't get tired. No. He rested because he didn't have any more work to do. It was completed. God took a look at what he'd done that week, and he saw that it was very good. And he ceased. He stopped his work. He quit. Nothing else needed to be done. So that was the day of rest. Now, when you stop and think about this, on the seventh day of the week, the people were to observe that Sabbatic rest from their labors. The seventh month of the year had three of these seven feasts, appointed days to be observed. And every seventh year, they were to refrain from farming. They didn't plant any seed. They didn't harvest any crops. They allowed the soil to rest that seventh year. And then there were seven sevens of years, total of 49, 7 times 7 is 49, and then the next year, the 50th year, was the Jubilee year. Every 50 years they had a Jubilee year, and that's when all the debts were forgiven. Wouldn't you like to have one of those nowadays? Your credit cards. All your debts were forgiven. Really, that was what that year of Jubilee was. And if you were a slave, you were set free. It was Emancipation Day for the slaves. A lot of the people would sell themselves into bondage or slavery to pay off a debt that they owed somebody. And on that Jubilee year, they were set free from that obligation. Also, we're studying in the book of Daniel on Wednesday nights, and when we get into the ninth chapter of Daniel, we're going to find that there are 70 sevens of years. Total of 490 years that is determined upon the Jewish people, Daniel tells us, during which time God is going to bring to perfection and completeness his redemptive program and purposes for the Jewish people. He said these are determined upon thy people. And then when we get into the book of Revelation, you'll find that number 7 appears over 50 times in that one book. 7. Now let's review these 7 holidays on the Jewish calendar, God's calendar, and consider the spiritual significance of these. By the way, 4 of them occur in the spring. The remaining 3 occur in the fall of the year. The first 4 are associated with Christ's first coming. The last 3 are associated with the second coming of Christ. The first 4 have been fulfilled already. The remaining 3 are awaiting a future fulfillment. So let's look at these. In verses 4 and 5 of Leviticus 23, we have the first one. And this is the feast of Passover. The scripture says, these are the feasts of the Lord. They're not man's, but they're God's. They're the feast of the Lord. Even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at evening, is the Lord's Passover. Okay, this is number one. He tells us what day it's going to be. We've got this first month of the year that he said to Moses there, and he said in the 14th day of this first month is the Lord's Passover. Now that's the first. That's the foundational feast. All the rest of them are built upon this first one. If we didn't have this first feast, all the rest of them would be meaningless. You've got to have the first one. And by the way, there's only one Passover. Only one. Now the feast was to be observed annually, every year, he said. But all of the subsequent Passover feasts, even the ones that they have today, and we have a lot of our Jewish friends that like to come. Irv Rifkin was with us not too long ago, and he put on the Passover here for us. But all of these are only commemorative of the real one that happened one time. It's kind of like our 4th of July, our Independence Day. We have one Independence Day, but we celebrate it every year. And on Christmas, every year, we celebrate the birth of Christ. But Jesus isn't born every year on December the 25th. He was born once. And on Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus was raised from the dead once. Every year, it's a commemoration of his resurrection from the dead. Now, look in verse 6. First is the Passover. Second is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on the 15th day of the same month, that's the first month, wasn't it? So this, the other feast was on the 14th day, and this one is on the next day, isn't it? The 15th day is the next day after the 14th. Is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So remember now, this second feast begins on the next day after the day of Passover, and it lasts for 7 days. Now the 7 days, during these 7 days, they were not to eat anything that had leaven in it. Now leaven is the yeast that causes bread to rise, as I understand it. And that's the reason why when we have communion that we have unleavened bread, because the unleavened bread represents the body of Christ, which was without sin. So leaven represents that which is sinful and unclean and so forth. It causes fermentation. Now Jesus was crucified on Passover, right? Remember the last supper that he had in the upper room with his disciples? He had told his disciples to go make preparation for the Passover. And he had the Passover supper with his disciples. And the next day, see, it started at evening. And the next day, he was crucified. Now, after he died, they came by and saw that he was dead. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate and asked his permission to take the body of Jesus down from the cross. Pilate gave permission. Nicodemus, the rabbi that had come to Jesus by night, helped him, and the two of them took the body of Jesus down from the cross. They cleaned it up and they prepared it for burial. They wrapped it in the clean linen cloths with the spices, and they laid his body in Joseph's new tomb, where no one had ever been laid before. Now, his body is in the grave. What does that have to do with unleavened bread, you say? His body did not decay in the grave. God did not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. His body did not begin to deteriorate. Here last month or so, whenever my niece took her life in the garage, when my brother Bill went over there and raised the garage door, and he looked in there and he saw her, and Marge's mother was there behind him. He says, "Don't come in here. Don't come in here." Because she'd been in there probably for a couple of days, and it was mighty hot there in Texas. And her body had already begun to decay. You can imagine that the body of Jesus is in the tomb. By the way, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, "Roll away the stone." Mary said, "No." Mary and Martha, "No." Why? She says, "It stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. And there's nothing that smells worse than a decaying body. Human body." Now, the body of Jesus, laying there in Joseph's tomb, did not decay. Did not, there, nothing at all. There was no decomposition of the flesh. God's Holy One did not see corruption. And that's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. Down in verse 10 here in Leviticus 23, we have the third feast. This is the Feast of First Fruits. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he, the priest, shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you." The priest is going to wave the first fruits before the Lord so they will be accepted for you, the one who brought them. "On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Now the Sabbath has always been Saturday. Always will be. Sunday is the first day of the week. And Sunday is the morrow after the Sabbath. And when Jesus rose from the dead, remember the women went to the tomb very early in the morning, and as they went, they said, "Who's going to roll the stone away for us?" And God must have been listening, because he sent an angel down, and the angel rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And when the women saw him, he gave them the message of resurrection. He is not here. He is risen. The invitation. Come see the place where the Lord lay. First fruits. Sunday. Why do we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday? Because we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And Christ was raised from the dead on Sunday. Now, this feast began here, and the Lord's acceptance of the first fruits that were waved before him was a pledge on his part of a full harvest. Now, think of this. You've got a field of wheat out here. You've got 100 acres, we'll say, of wheat. And you go out into the field and you pluck a handful of the first ripe fruits. Sometimes your field may not be completely level, and there'll be a little sandy knoll out here, and up on top of that is where it gets ripe first. You ever notice that? That's it in the lower places where there's more moisture. It stays green a little bit longer. So he would go out and pluck a handful of the first fruits. Give them to the priest. The priest would wave them before the Lord. And when God accepted that first fruits, that was God's pledge and promise for the entire 100 acres of wheat. Jesus is our first fruits. This was fulfilled on Resurrection Day when our Lord Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead. He became the first fruits of all them that sleep in Jesus. And this is the "because I live, ye shall live also" part of the gospel. The Feast of First Fruits. Now, the Jews, this was the reason why the resurrection was so hard for them to grasp. Because all of their lives, they believed in the immortality of the soul, but they did not believe in the physical resurrection from the dead. But Christianity now proclaims the physical, bodily resurrection of the dead. The Jews still don't believe it. They're going to be surprised. All right, look at the next one. Verses 15 and 16. That was his resurrection. "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering," that's the Sunday now, wasn't it? "Seven Sabbaths," that's 7 weeks, "shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath," that's still on the first day of the week, isn't it? Sunday. "On the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." Now this is called the Feast of Weeks, because God told them to count 7 weeks from the first fruits, the resurrection, 7 weeks from the resurrection of Christ, 49 days, and the 50th day, the Bible brings it here to a total of 50 days, And what happens? 50 days after the first fruits, which depicts Christ's resurrection now, what happened? And Jesus rose from the dead on first fruits, and he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. 40 days. Before he took his disciples out and ascended back to heaven, Acts chapter 1, from the Mount of Olives. And what did he tell his disciples? He said, "Tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power." So they went back and they tarried. How long? 10 days. All right, he was seen for 40 days, and now we've got 10 more days. That brings us up to 50 days. What happened on the 50th day after his resurrection from the dead? Read it in Acts chapter 2. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and Pente means 50. 50 days. So each of these four feasts, these four divine appointments, occurred and were fulfilled on the exact, precise date that God had put down on his calendar. Jesus was crucified on the feast of Passover. Jesus was placed in the grave on the feast of unleavened bread. Jesus was resurrected from the dead on the feast of first fruits. And after 40 days, he ascended to the Father, and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. There's no coincidence here. This is no happenstance. This is God's calendar. I have on my calendar at the house. I could remember things. But you know, nowadays it's gotten to where I, as a precaution, I write them down. If I have a doctor's appointment, I'll write it on my calendar. Tuesday, I've got a funeral at 10 o'clock out here. It's on my calendar. It's embarrassing when you don't. Before I started putting it down on the calendar, a dear lady in our church that I had pastored down here when I was at Castle Park Baptist Church died. She had 2 or 3 daughters and 1 son. I think there were 3 girls and 1 boy, about the same as our family. And naturally they called me up to have the funeral. It was going to be at a funeral home down here, Humphreys. So I get up and I get all dressed and get my Bible and everything like that, and I go down there to Humphreys and at the appointed time, but I'm the only one there. Ground. They didn't have a body there. I'm the only one there. The lady says, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "Yeah, I'm here for so-and-so's funeral." "Oh, that was yesterday." I'll tell you, I felt about that high. And I went back to the house and I did some telephoning and I did some apologizing. Because I didn't write it down on my calendar and I missed it. And so now I've gotten to where I like to write things down so I don't miss them. Now God, way back here in the days of Moses, filled out the blanks on his calendar. And he wrote down these things that were going to come to pass. And they came to pass at the exact time, on the exact date that God said they were going to come to pass on. That's after 7 o'clock. Aren't you glad that I only got 3 more to go? I'll tell you what, I'll make a whole sermon out of the rest of these one of these days, but I want to give them to you right now before we quit. The next 3 feasts written on God's calendar are in the fall of the year. The next one in verse 24 of Leviticus 23, I'm going to read it to you anyway. I won't preach too long on it, I promise. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month. Now, if their month Abib, the first month of the year, was corresponds with our April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. November would be the 7th month, wouldn't it? In the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made. That's the atonement. I skipped one. Let's go back to verse 24. I'm sorry. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month, the 1st of November, all right? Now, I know that our calendar is different from the Jewish calendar because they've got 30-day months. And they come up short of ours. About every 4 years, they have a... They make up for it by throwing in an additional month. So ours and theirs is not exactly the same. If this says the 7th month, the first day of the month, it's not the first day of November. It may fall in the middle of the month or whatever it is. You can get a Jewish calendar and look at it, and it'll tell you what it is. Shall you have a Sabbath? A memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Brother Brown, what's going to happen? Ooh, I'll tell you. Read it over in 1 Thessalonians. Read it in 1 Corinthians 15. And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, listen. If all 4 of those others happened on the exact same day that God said they would, the day of the month, how come we're going to look at this one that says in the 7th month on the first day of the month and say, oh, that could be any time? Ridiculous. Mark your calendar. When Jesus comes and the rapture and the first resurrection takes place, it's going to be in November. Amen? How about that? I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but when it comes, he's going to be on schedule. I don't think he's going to change it. All right. Let's go to the atonement. We read part of that already, verse 27. And also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, this other happened on the 1st, and this is the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And read Romans chapter 11. I'm not going to read it to you now, but read Romans chapter 11, particularly verses 25, 26, and 27, and you'll find out here that this will be the day of Israel's salvation. The whole nation of Israel are going to see Jesus. Zechariah tells us about it. His feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, and they're going to see him, and they're going to see the scars in his hands, and they're going to say, "Where'd you get those scars in your hands?" And he's going to tell them about Calvary. And Paul says, "And all Israel shall be saved." That's it. All right, there's one more. Let's get this one in there. We'll close. Verse 24. Verse 34 of chapter 23, beg your pardon. "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month." See, all those other four, the first three happened in the first month, and then this is the seventh month here, the three. These on the first and the tenth day, and here's the 15th day of the seventh month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And that is the establishing of the Messianic Kingdom, when Christ establishes his kingdom on the earth. He's given us the exact day in the Bible that it's going to take place. Not the year, but he's told us the month and the day. And there's no need for us to be ignorant of it. And it's going to be about November, something like that.
October.
Where do you get October out of it?
Because April is the first month.
April is the first month.
April, May, June, July, August,
September, October. All right. See there? I missed it by a month. I missed the rapture. He's testing me. I'm glad we got Sam here to keep us straight on that. All right. What's going to be in May?
The rapture.
The rapture? Oh, okay. Yeah, we've already missed it three times, huh? All right. Hey, you've been good tonight. I've enjoyed going over this with you. Hope you learned something. Maybe we said something there that'll stir up your recollection. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Remember now that we have some refreshments in there that we're going to be partaking of, and we're going to be celebrating some birthdays and anniversaries. And one of them's going to be Brother John. He had a birthday. He's not 79 anymore. Bless his heart. He's already crossed the threshold. He's in his 80s now. He can get a senior discount when he goes into the restaurant. Anyway, it's good to be here.